The snowy mountains of Davos, Switzerland are going to be packed this week with about 3,000 business, political and cultural leaders from all over the world. They're gathering in the Alpine Ski Resort for the 14th annual World Economic Forum. It's a very high-profile four-day conference where discussions about the latest global issues take place, and panels aim to really fuel business partnerships and showcase some of the latest technology and science advancements, and also stimulate debate about solutions to various seemingly intractable social, political and environmental issues. It's all about big picture thinking. Last year, the main theme was responsive and responsible leadership, and we had US President Donald Trump rather ironically making his first appearance at the conference and delivering remarks that were a prelude to the trade war that helped define the economic and market dynamics of 2018. South Africa's delegation to the World Economic Forum recently touched down, and I've got Trade and Industry Minister Rob Davies on the line to find out what's on the agenda for Team South Africa this year. Evening, Minister.
Good evening, Michael, and the listeners.
What is it exactly that you hope to achieve this week as Team South Africa?
Well, as you indicated in your intro, this is one of the largest gatherings in the world, if not the largest, that brings together business leaders, government leaders, and so on. And it therefore provides quite an important opportunity to showcase our investment position, as well as to have more in-depth discussions with actual or potential investors about the environment in South Africa, issues that we need to address, and how we can encourage them to get more involved in our country. So there's quite a number of activities that all of us will be participating in, which will be bilateral meetings of one sort or another, and a few events led by the president, where we interact with groups of business people from across the world and basically discuss the investment environment in South Africa. And then, of course, in addition to that, as you point out, there are a number of themes going on. And these are main theme this year is called Globalization 4.0. And it's talking about the challenges of multilateralism in the time of the technological change of the fourth industrial revolution. And it's addressing a whole lot of issues, conflicts and things like that, but also the multilateral trading system, governance in the multilateral trading system. There'll be platforms that will be discussing all of the various proposals for reform, some of which are quite difficult for some of us in the developing world to agree to. And then, as you say, so to showcase a number of the technologies around the fourth industrial revolution. And for me, there's always a meeting, an informal meeting of trade ministers in the World Trade Organization that always takes place on the last day.
It's very interesting to have a look at where we position South Africa. As an emerging market economy, certainly the talk around Davos is that of climate change and an array of activists that attend the event. The talk is about the just transition, yet we are a country that is blessed with an abundance of coal. How do we navigate the trade-offs that have to be made here to ensure that we are responsible corporate citizens, but that we are also very mindful of our own economic interests at the same time and the realities that we're confronted by?
Well, I think indeed the issue of multilateralism in the arena of climate change comes up, I don't think there's any way that we can confront the challenge of trying to avoid catastrophic climate change without multilateralism. So there's been all these major multilateral agreements, the Paris Agreement and so on. And the reality, of course, is that one of the countries has renounced the obligations. The big economy of the world has renounced that. So that just indicates something of the broader issue of the challenges of trying to find multilateral solutions to problems that are only susceptible to multilateral solutions. So I think those are some of the kind of issues that are certainly going to be discussed. But I think that indeed it's extremely cold here, and I think colder than last year. It may seem contraindicative to the reality of global warming, but in fact, what I do know as an amateur in this area is that climate change and global warming has been causing damage to the global vortex, the Arctic vortex, rather,
yeah,
which is meaning the cold weather's getting further south. It's also why the US is shivering right now.
It is leading to greater extremes, both on the warming and the cooling fronts. And and we are seeing on the tech front that we could be facing serious winners and losers. It's the nature of technology where the first movers tend to have an outsized advantage. It leads to greater concentration. People still saying that we don't perhaps know exactly what the job implications are going to be. Will there be entire jobs replaced or merely tasks inside jobs replaced? Will lower skilled workers find it more difficult to get jobs? Will small businesses may find it easier to perhaps enter markets? All of that is interesting for an emerging market like South Africa, where we do have a skills challenge. How are you looking to position South Africa as a country that can navigate those challenges and be on the track of winners?
Well, indeed. I mean, one of the things I always have been for the last few years going to is I'm on the board of stewards of something called the Initiative on the Future of Production. And this is bringing together a lot of debate and a lot of research around these kind of questions. And I think that what's clear to me anyway is that these technologies in the abstract can deliver huge benefits that can solve a number of developmental challenges in new and creative ways and create new opportunities for entrepreneurs and so on. But they also have pregnant within them the potential to fuel concentration, winner takes most markets, and widening inequality, which the WEF has also recognized as one of the features of the challenge against multilateralism. And I think that what's essential is that we need to have strategies that work to ensure that the benefits outweigh the negatives. Otherwise, we're going to find winners and losers within and also between countries, emerging economies, probably finding that they are more affected by the negatives if these things don't happen. And then on top of that, I think what we've got is we've got behind the trade wars that we see between the two largest economies in the world, ultimately, it's about who's going to lead the process of the transition to the Industrial Revolution. That was said by Klaus Schwab when he came to the event in South Africa last year. And I think that every indication then is that this is what it's about. It's about clipping the wings of the start and ensuring that things don't happen that disrupt the current relationships between the dominant and the second dominant economy. And I think that that's incredibly disruptive to the rest of us, not in a positive way, but in a negative way.
It reminds me of that old African saying of when the elephants fight, it's the grass that gets trampled. So we need to ensure that as the African emerging market grass, we benefit as best as possible and we don't get trampled. That said, though, obviously South Africa does have its challenges. We've got our energy challenges. Policy certainty has been a plea from business for some time, and obviously corruption is front and center. We've got the Zondo Commission currently playing itself out. What do you see is as the greatest challenge in going to Davos and selling the South Africa Inc. Invest South Africa investment message?
Well, I think that last year already we saw a turnaround. I think people saw that positive changes at that stage as a result of the ANC conference, but not yet as a change government, were leading the country in a direction where these challenges would be likely be confronted in a much more open way, in a way that was actually resolve a number of these challenges. And that led, I think, investors to actually start asking the question, how do I get involved in South Africa, rather than express to us a series of reasons why they weren't going to get involved. I think that turnaround was evident to a number of us last year. I think that the investment conference and that will build that. And I think you can see that there is palpable progress being made towards addressing a number of these issues. Not that these problems are small, but that I think that the trend line is in the right direction. And I think that many of the investors, when I talk to them, they say they look at the long term. They're looking to at the long term story in South Africa, making a bet on the future, and seeing that the movement is likely to be in the right direction. I think it's to consolidate that story, and I think as Team South Africa, we'll be doing that. And I think we've got a much better story to tell this year than last year. Last year was better than the year before. So hopefully things are moving in the right direction.
Well, Minister, I do hope that investors do receive that message warmly, more warmly than the weather, as you mentioned. It is awfully chilly at the moment and set to get a lot colder as the week progresses, with minus 12 expected on Friday. So do keep warm over in a very chilly Davos. Thanks for the time.
Thank you very much.
And we're joined now by Energy Minister Jeff Khadebe, who is selling the investment case for the country. And obviously, Minister, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. Fielding questions around Eskom, I'm sure, and ensuring investors that we can keep the lights on. What are you saying to investors who ask about how we plan on doing that when we know Eskom is rapidly running out of funding room?
Well, as you'll recall, Michael, that president has been on this issue of Eskom, that Eskom is a very strategic state asset of the Republic of South Africa and indeed for the people of South Africa. So if there are challenges in Eskom, it not only affects the economy as a whole, but you and I as the consumers of electricity. When the president realized this immense challenge that faces Eskom, he appointed a presidential task team that is now coming with proposals and options of what we can do in the immediate to make sure that the lights are continuing to be on in South Africa and to reposition Eskom to play a very key role in the economic development. We'll notice, Michael, that if there are challenges of electricity, investors will be very reluctant to invest in the African economy. So that's why all of us as cabinet will leave no stone unturned in ensuring that Eskom is repositioned in such a way that it plays that key role in the economy of South Africa.
And I recall the president last week saying at the breakfast hosted with business here in Rosebank before you departed for Davos that there is a glimmer of light at the end of the table, and that in a way we can say that Eskom has been handled. We can put it to the side. So it does sound like there is a plan with which the president is trying to build confidence. Can you reveal any details around what that might entail?
Well, unfortunately, Michael, I can't reveal, but I can say that I've had an opportunity of listening to the presidential task team giving this report. We have young people who are very dynamic, who are accompanied by seasoned energy experts such as Dr. Anton Eberhardt. I'm very confident that when the president outlines all the way forward about Eskom, South Africans will be very assured that we are handling this matter.
And in terms of a timeline, we talk policy certainty all the time on the show, and was chatting to Professor Raymond Parsons about the policy uncertainty index, which has actually improved in the last quarter. When will the IRP be finalized? What is the timeline expected for that?
Timeline is very immediate. We'll recall, Michael, that in August of 2018, I released a draft IRP for people of South Africa and stakeholders to make comments. So we've received all those comments, MEDLEC, even from Parliament, ordinary South Africans, many sectors. So now I think the final touches. So on my diary, I intend to proceed to Cabinet early in February. I would have wanted to do this in January, but as you know, there's a shutdown in January, and there's a lehosha of the ruling party, lehosha of the Cabinet. So in February, you should expect the final RP 2019.
And I know the president was fairly popular last year as the deputy president, or perhaps even a president in waiting. Is his agenda going to be even fuller this time around as the president?
Yes, indeed. We are here in full support of the president. All of us, trade and industry, finance, economic development, communications, energy, we are here to make sure that the investment case for South Africa is on the agenda. I'm very optimistic that we are moving from strength to strength, recalling what happened last year. And if you recall last year, we're in a bad situation than we are today. So the mood in South Africa and around the globe about the perception about South Africa is increasingly becoming very positive. So I'm very certain that leaving Davos at the end of this week would be coming up with a more renewed optimism about the investment case for South Africa.
Well, Minister, thank you very much for your time. I'll let you get back on with the various meetings and bilaterals that I'm sure you have running into the wee hours.
Thanks, Michael.
Keep warm.
And not all listeners.